right now, 9:15 on a very cold Tuesday here in the Metroplex. Time for Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air.
Hey, good, good, strong head. Come on.
There's a lot of energy for you on radio. When was the last time you guys put on a garage sale?
Never.
You've never had one?
My parents had 20 one.
20 years ago.
Parents had one when I was 10, mm-hmm. 8. That's the last one I've been involved in.
Why are you thinking about doing it?
Those were always difficult when I was a kid. My parents had a couple garage sales, several of them. And there would always be things that I would agree to get rid of, and then I didn't really want to, and then seeing someone coming up and trying to buy it. And
yes.
You begging for it back at the last, at the point of sale.
I did the exact same thing.
It's just so awkward.
And I remember crying because something was being sold that I originally mm-hmm. said okay to. And yeah, they were traumatic for me.
They were for me too. But it was kind of weird seeing your mom sitting up there at the, you know, the fold-out table with the cigar box full of money. It's like, it's weird seeing my mom work as a cashier and haggling with people. But I bet you it felt good for our parents to get rid of a bunch of junk. Mm-hmm. You know, have you read that book that was very popular a couple of years ago, That Magical Art of Tidying Up or whatever it's called, from the woman Maria of somebody? You heard of that book?
Yeah.
It's very good. I read it all in one sitting over the weekend.
This weekend?
This weekend, yeah. And it's so good about your possessions and how you should really pare down to only the things you use and basically the things you can see. She says that she spent many years being a storage expert, you know, helping people come up with creative ways of storing things and systems of storing. When it finally dawned on her that the fact that there are storage experts is ignoring the very problem. And the problem is having the stuff that you need to store.
Right.
Said you that's where you should head it off at the pass. It's about having stuff that you don't need, don't want, and stuff that causes basically psychic clutter inside your own home. And if you've ever gone to a hotel room or maybe an Airbnb, you go to a place that's well put together, everything's neat, orderly, and everything's in place, then you experience what I'm talking about, which is this idea of there's no project you're looking around that has to get done. There's no stack of stuff over there that I've got to put away. There's no bunch of papers here that I need to sort. You experience that psychological freedom that comes with having a place that is squared away. And her idea is basically, don't we all deserve to have a place that would reflect the interior that we all want?
Yes.
Which is a sense of peace.
Yes.
Well, the way to do that is by getting rid of stuff. And the reason it's called magical is she goes, you won't believe how once you do this, and she says you only do it once, you take 6 months of intensive holding each item in your hand, deciding if it brings your life joy or not. And if it doesn't, you get rid of it. And she says you do that once and you'll never go back to clutter again. Because once everything in your house has a place, you tend to just put it back where it goes afterwards. You know, it's things like coffee mugs. How many coffee mugs you need? 6, maybe?
Maybe.
If you have people over having coffee, 6. And that's it.
Yes.
You don't need 18?
You don't need 18. You don't need to stock.
I agree with
you. You don't need to stockpile stuff. You don't need to have 48 rolls of paper towels in the garage because, like she says, use stores as your storeroom.
Right.
Stop making your home a series of storage sheds that you move throughout. I sleep in this storage shed. We eat over here in this storage shed.
She sounds like a genius.
But it's tough, though, because when you put in the factor of kids, then you have items that they collect that are, I guess, near and dear to them, or at least they think they are, and then, you know, they don't care about them. As a parent, you probably care about them because you think, well, that was his first pair of soccer shoes. That was his first baseball uniform. I got to save that. He colored that picture for me, and we framed it. We've got to save that.
Right, and you don't.
That was his first toy.
That moment is gone. the moment of those shoes is gone. You can take a picture of them and you can get rid of them. I remember a friend of mine once said to me that it was an older family friend, and I visited with him shortly before he died, and we were talking about whether he had kept this old land that I remember going to when I was a kid, a farm that he used to own. And he said, no, I got rid of that. And I said, oh, that's a shame you had to get rid of it. And he goes, well, I guess I didn't have to, but I think it's a sin to have land that's not being used. And I started thinking about that as far as possessions, you know, and not to get, it's not religious. You don't have mm-hmm. to think sin as in religious sin. Just think of it as an archer sin, right? It's a little off the mark. That things want to be used. And she says this in this book, too, by the way, that your objects want to be of service to you. And if they aren't, they want to be out of your hair. They want to move on to somebody else that they can be of service to, and it shouldn't be a sad parting. It should be a celebration of, hey, thanks for what you did for me then, and go on with the next part of your life too, little object, whatever that object is. Interesting way of thinking about it.
Yeah,
it maybe makes the transition a little bit easier.
I'm a big believer in that. And on the kids' front, isn't it up to the parents? Now, once it's gone down the road for 10 years, I can see where it's hard to reverse it with a kid. But if from the beginning you teach the kid a more minimalist life, or you're not hanging on to this or that, well, then that's how they grow up. And it's not that shocking to their system when you take something away, or you just take a picture of it and keep the picture and get rid of the stuff.
Well, I think as they go on, the kids really don't care about it.
Yeah.
It gets to be where it's just the parents that care. Hey, no, I want to. And we sometimes ask, hey, don't you want to hang it? Oh, I don't care. But it still means something to us, so therefore we have boxes of it everywhere.
But won't
not as much as some people, though. I know some people that basically have museums of their kids' stuff.
Mm-hmm. But won't that thing still mean as much to you, even if it's in a different place, like a landfill? That object still means the same thing to you?
No, you can't. Don't say the landfill thing, because that's why you still hang on to it. His little soccer shoes at a landfill, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Well, if they're still good, can someone else use them?
I doubt it. I doubt they could still use them. I mean, I guess they could.
It helps to donate the stuff.
Think of this analogy. Like, my dad was big into, if we were finished with a meal, we're at a restaurant, right? And somebody ate only half their plate.
You gonna take
my
it home?
My dad was like, well, are you done? Well, yeah, Dad, I'm done.
Pass it down here.
Pass it on over here. I don't want to waste food.
Right.
That idea of wasting food.
Right.
Well, of course, we know what we think. You're supposed to think about that now, which is that you're wasting it if you're putting it in your body as well. Your body doesn't need any more of this food. Mm-hmm. You're already satisfied. And as a matter of fact, not wasting it, quote unquote, is just going to make you fatter by eating it. And your body's going to get rid of it anyway because it doesn't need it. So that's not wasting food. Think about possessions that same way, is that you, by not getting rid of them or throwing them away, it's putting that junk in your body, in your psychic body, which is this house you live in, and it's creating a sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Because your mind feels as cluttered as the space around it.
The weekend after New Year's, spent that whole Saturday cleaning out the house. And it was the most liberating feeling. I took bags of stuff down to the Austin Street Center for the Homeless. Linens, towels, clothing, shoes, coats. I cleaned out every closet, every hall closet, and put that stuff to good use. It was doing me no good. It was just cluttering up, like you say, my house and my psyche. And now it's being put to good use by Austin Street. And I did the same thing with my garage about 3 months before that. Completely cleared it out and got rid of, I bet you, 70% of what was just sitting in there.
Right.
And it was the best feeling ever.
And if you have kids, make them pick the things out that they want to donate and do it with them. That way they won't be clutter bugs one day.
You know, another interesting thing that she says in this book is, which is a great way of approaching, and I had to approach my guitar collection that I had amassed there for a while. I thought about, which ones do I really want to keep? If I had to pare it down to one steel string, one nylon string, and one electric, which of these would I choose? And it was very clear to me kind of what my desert island choices would be.
Mm-hmm.
and then I let go of all the rest. And she says what you do is you decide what are the things you want to keep. If you're moving into a new place and you just want to put one of each thing in there, right? I'm going to, and not necessarily one, you know what I'm talking about, but a minimal amount, you know? You're going to put six coffee cups in there. You're going to have the two guitars, so on. You pick those things. Don't think of it as the negative of, wow, I got to decide which things I'm going to get rid of. No, decide the things that you want to keep and then get rid of the rest. Pick the most important things.
You know what the hardest thing for me to purge lately has been? Wall hangings. Like, I have a closet with about 10, they're either posters or paintings or whatever that I really like, but I don't have a place for. I just don't have the wall space for it. But I hold on to those in the event that whatever my next house is, that I'll have the room for that.
Right.
That I'll have the perfect spots for those things. That's the one thing I have a really hard time parting with.
Yeah. It's the old, and a lot of people do it with everything, which is, well, I may find a use for something someday.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe her approach would be, when that someday comes, something will find you that will satisfy that. You don't need to hang on to stuff to be put to use later. If you have a use later, something will come and find you then.
Right.
You guys are going to kill the economy. What are you saying? We can't buy stuff and keep accumulating stuff?
Well, the economy is going to always be going because most people will not choose this way. Because we do have the... We have the model in our head that we're empty, we need to be filled up. And you fill it with stuff. That's why we fill our houses with stuff. If you ever lived with a woman, Giorgio, I don't know if you have or not.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of times women will look at a space and think, oh, well, we need to fill that. Oh, this is great. I need to put a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah, the groupings. And
Yeah, the groupings and all that. And they can take a sliver of, you know, 24 inches of wall space between windows. Oh, we got to put something in between there.
You got to put something on top of that table and then group it with that and then put this sconce. But here's the thing. See, that's what isn't that in our minds what makes it a home versus an Airbnb?
No.
Because when we go to a hotel, part of you thinks, well, I couldn't live here because it's just so barren. I'd have to put some of my personal items around if I was going to stay here for more than a week or so. And when you come home and you see how it's decorated and some of the personal items... Therefore, that's what makes it home.
I get that argument, but think of the counter-argument, which is that it doesn't take many personal things to make it your home. The thing that makes it most your home is how comfortable you'll feel in it. And I would say that most people are not comfortable in their homes. That's my bold claim.
That's interesting.
Is that most people are agitated by their homes. Most people have kitchens that are so stock full of pots and pans that they... When you get to the point where you can't find something, you that's the problem. That's where you have too much.
Where you slowly open the, if you have a drawer, the drawer just so it doesn't get stuck. You're just
right,
praying
so
that
you don't
a handle
jam drawer.
Up.
Yeah, because of some pot handle will get stuck in there because I have three of basically the same thing, three frying pans or whatever. When you get to that point in your kitchen, if you've ever thought in your kitchen, oh, I've got to make the, you know what? Let's just go out to dinner. Don't you see where it is here?
That is, stand to be in
let's
your own
escape our home,
right?
Where we can go out to dinner, where I can relax.
Don't have to do dishes and get stuck drawer. And,
right.
Yeah, yes. It's so funny you brought up coffee cups. We just got rid of some because we had this huge collection of coffee cups, probably over 20. And I said the same thing. We don't need this many. And I thought we'd gotten rid of a bunch, but just yesterday we had them so crammed in there that my son opened the cabinet. One came falling out of there. And I didn't see it happen. He goes, whoa. I said, what happened? And he said, well, luckily I'm Julio Jones. He had to make this great catch because we still have coffee cups falling off the shelf.
Well, that's also the thing. If you can't see it on the front row of your cabinets, you just need to get rid of it because you don't use the things that you don't see. Mm-hmm. The deeper something's buried, you never get to it.
But we could have some people over and they would need a coffee cup. And then, then what do?
You have six coffee cups. Six people can have coffee at one time. You run it in shifts.
We're going to have a big coffee party.
Okay, so the story I want to tell you was this one family. Their grandma died, left the stuff to their mother. Their mother and father eventually die, and these three brothers had to do the old go through the house, have the estate sale. There was this one old painting down there in the basement of one of the grandson's house because he had gotten the stuff, but they decided, oh, we're going to clear out this too. So they take the painting. It was appraised for not much, said it would get about maybe $200 to $800. So they were at a, I guess they auctioned this painting off in some painting auction, and the bids started going up. It got up to $800, and then somebody came through with a $5,000 bid over the phone, and somebody else bid it up even a little bit more, and it started going and taking off. It got up to $5,000, $80,000, then it jumped to $100,000, then it was past $400,000. And the guy who had appraised it for $200,000 going, I don't quite understand what's going on, because there was a bidder from France, there was a bidder from Germany on the phone. They eventually get to $450,000, and then it goes on up to $1.1 million.
Oh, my gosh. What was it?
Then that person who bought it immediately sells it to someone else for $4 million.
Oh, my God.
It was this painting of this woman passed out and two guys standing beside her with smelling salts trying to revive her. And turns out it was the one missing painting from the series of five senses. That was the sense of smell painting from Rembrandt when he was a teenager.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm passing out. Man.
They had a Rembrandt that was in their basement that was on the floor. Wow. They had walked over a few times.
See, Grandma knew something.
No, Grandma, they had no idea either. Their granddad bought it from someone in the 30s for just a few cents.
Wow.
And they had it hanging in their house the whole time. The grandparents did.
Incredible.
Yeah. $4 million painting.
Oh. All right, I'm keeping all my stuff.
Yeah, keep all your stuff. You may have a Rembrandt.
That's the lesson today, is keep everything. All right, that's the corner. It's 9:33 on the ticket.